Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
I want to actually turn now to kind of a momentous day that's on the way for Massachusetts, because on Sunday, recreational cannabis sales will officially be legal in this state. However, no recreational cannabis stores are expected to be open on Sunday, even as regulators are approving business licenses. And there can be no legal retail sales until an independent testing laboratory becomes licensed by the Cannabis Control Commission. So to get an update on where we are regarding legal marijuana in Massachusetts, I'm joined now by Steve Hoffman. He's the chairman of the Cannabis Control Commission. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me here.
All right. So first of all, just give us your initial snapshot in terms of where we are. It does seem a little strange that technically sales should be legal on Sunday, but people aren't going to have a place to buy them.
Well, let me be clear on a couple things. June 1st is the first date that we were legally allowed to issue licenses. Mm-hmm. There is nothing in the legislation that says July 1st is the first legal date. Once licenses are issued, literally any time after that, sales could begin. July 1st is very much in the public's expectation. It was even before I got started in this role, and I recognize and respect the expectation, but it's not part of the legal mandate. Our job is to build an industry that works for the state and for the citizens in terms of safety and accessibility and public health, and we're going to do that. But nowhere is there a target date in the legislation that says July 1st
okay.
is the date.
Point taken. I get it. So the letter of the law doesn't necessarily specify that, but you did mention that there was public expectation.
Absolutely, and I respect that. I really do. And I respect that there's disappointment because there are going to be no legal stores open on July 1st. So I recognize that. But from day one, we've been very consistent saying we're going to do this right. And that's more important than any particular date. That what should be important, I hope, to the citizens of the state is that if you look in July 1st, 2019 and July 1st, 2020, what does this industry look like then as opposed to a snapshot on July 1st? And so we're doing this right. I'm totally convinced that we've been totally transparent in our process. We've hit all of the legislative mandates in terms of getting our regulations finalized on March 15th, starting to accept license applications on April 1st. So we've hit the actual mandates in the legislation, but I truly do understand that we've disappointed, or that some people are disappointed, that July 1st has come and gone, or will have come and gone, with no stores open.
Okay, so let's get a little bit more information from you on what I mentioned in the introduction here about that independent testing laboratory that has to be licensed by the commission. What's going on there?
So point one is that, you know, in our regulations, nothing can be sold in a retail store that has not been laboratory tested, and that's absolutely mandatory as part of the law, as part of our regulations, and as a part of, you know, upholding public safety and public health. That being said, we can't force a laboratory to apply for a license. We have in our queue right now one laboratory that has started the application process. There are three others that are currently licensed for medical marijuana that we expect to apply for licenses very quickly. And once they get their licenses, they're pretty much ready to go because they already have the labs up and operating. But we can't force anybody to apply, but we expect that that'll be the case.
Because I was going to ask you about those labs that are already doing it.
Yeah, we've talked to them all, and you know, and it's informal, and it's their prerogative and their decision, but we expect that they'll apply. We also, yesterday at our public commission meeting, made a decision that any lab that applies prior to August 1st, we'll move them to the front of the queue, just to make sure that we can get them into the system, into the value chain. And again, it won't take them very long to start up because they're already operating for medical marijuana.
But, I mean, do you have a sense as to when this might all
It's going to be over the next few months. I mean, because, you know, we have to get cultivators started. We have to get manufacturers started. Retail stores have to be licensed. So, and then the other big variable, which I'm sure you're aware of, is the cities and towns. You know, this is a licensing process that occurs at the state level, but it has to work for the cities and towns, and that's a legal requirement. And we've been very collaborative with cities and towns in terms of ensuring that before we even consider a license, the host community agreement between the applicant and the city and town has been signed, that the applicant has done a community outreach agreement outreach meeting so that the citizens in the cities and towns can have their say on the matter. And we need the cities and towns to get back to us, and we give them 60 days from the time we receive an application or when it's complete. We give the cities and towns 60 days to come back to us and say their zoning requirements have been unmet. So, it, you know, that's part of the variables. And as you know, there are a large number, 130 plus or minus cities and towns that have put moratoriums in place. They waited to see our final regulations, which were done on March 15th, and now they're going through their own planning processes.
Well, so let me ask you about that, because as you know, Attorney General Maura Healey, just at the end of
last week. I heard that.
You heard that? I'm sure you did, right? So for folks who didn't, there may be some of them out there, at the end of last week, the Attorney General approved an extension of Mansfield's, a temporary moratorium on marijuana retail stores through June 2019. Now, this ruling means that local officials could potentially prohibit cannabis sales for at least another year without residential approval?
If they get a moratorium, we are not allowed to issue a license in a city or town that has a moratorium in place. And so by definition, if Mansfield has a moratorium in place through June of 2019, we cannot issue a license for anything, not just retail, but for anything in that town. The process of applying for a moratorium is between the city and town and the Attorney General's office. And they have, up to this point, said that the moratoriums have to expire no later than December 31st of 2018. And there are about, as I said, about 130 of them. This is the first time that they've extended beyond that. I don't believe it's a precedent. I know that the Attorney General is doing what she believes is the right thing in terms of giving cities and towns. The moratoriums are planning tools, and they really just want to make sure they're giving cities and towns time to, you know, do their own planning and make sure it works.
But do you think it's the right thing? Because, I mean, some people would say that it defies the spirit of the law, which says that residents ought to approve whether or not there should be moratoriums on sales in their cities or towns.
I believe it's between the cities and towns and the Attorney General to make that determination. Our job is to enforce the law, and the law on moratoriums is that the Attorney General has the rights to approve. So it's really not something that I have an opinion on. It's just we'll do what the law requires us to do.
What's been the toughest part of this job so far?
Besides talking to you.
This is the easiest part of the job, I'm sure.
It is not talking to the press, but it's very public. I come from the private sector. This is the first time I've been in the public sector. It's certainly the first time I've had any media experience. And it is hard. Everything we do is in public. We are subject to the open meeting law. So all of our meetings, all of our deliberations of the commission are done in public. And so that, in the context of an issue that's very challenging, very difficult and complex and very controversial. 53% of these voters voted in favor of this, 47% voted against it. And there are very strong opinions on both sides of the issue. And so the fact that we're doing this in the public eye, that we're subject to so much scrutiny and is such a contentious issue is a big challenge. And as I said, it's a very, very complicated issue. There's no roadmap here.
Yeah. Well, so there is and there isn't, though, right? Because there's maybe no roadmap in terms of Massachusetts specifically.
Right.
But I think a lot of people who are vociferously in support of the industry getting off the ground here would say there's roadmaps in a bunch of other states.
Sure.
So why has it taken so long?
Well, so a couple of things. One is we have had a lot of help and spent a lot of time talking to the other states, particularly the three that preceded us by a couple of years, Colorado, Oregon, and Washington State. And they've been great. They really have shared with us anything we've asked for. And they've been open about things that they would have liked to have seen, to have done differently or better. So we've learned from them. And there are a bunch of states that kind of passed the voter initiative around the same time we did, California and Nevada, Alaska, Maine. So we've got lots of places to learn, but each state is not only different demographically, but the laws are quite different. And I'll give you just a couple of examples. In Massachusetts, part of the law, very important part of the law, is that we need to ensure that those communities that were disproportionately impacted by the previous drug laws, marijuana laws, are full participants in our new industry. I think it's a noble effort. I know that in Oakland they're trying to do that, but we're the only state that at a statewide level is requiring that. And I think it's absolutely imperative. That's a challenge. It's not a bad thing. It's a great thing, but it just adds some complexity and challenge to it. Our legislators wanted to ensure that we were promoting small farmers and the participation of small businesses, women, minorities, veterans. So each state is unique in terms of the law. So that's part of it. So we can learn a lot from other states, but not everything. You can't just lift and shift. And then, of course, part of why it's taking so long is the initiative passed in November of 2016. The legislature put everything on hold for 6 months and said, we're going to study this and maybe modify it. That law was signed, the subsequent law was signed by Governor Baker in July of last year. So things were pushed back by 8 months. I'll say one more thing, and I hope I'm not sounding defensive. I'm really proud of what we're doing, but I understand, as I said, I understand the expectations that the public has. There are a couple states, and I'm not going to get into criticizing other states because everybody's got the same. They got different challenges than we do, but everybody's got challenges. But there are a couple of states that had a deadline and met that deadline in terms of opening stores. One of them had stores open on the deadline with no inventory on the shelves. One of them had stores open on the deadline, but the licenses that everybody was operating under were provisional licenses. There had been no background checks performed. The seed-to-sale inventory tracking system was not yet in place, so people were taking inventory, keeping inventory on pencil and paper. We made the decision, rightly or wrongly, you can criticize us, but we made the decision explicitly and publicly, we were going to do this right. And that was more important to us than hitting a deadline, particularly a deadline, as I said, that is not a legislative mandate. I hope I don't sound offensive, but that's literally been our guiding principle. We're going to do this right, and we're going to do this right for the long term.
Yeah. No, I think the examples are very helpful, and I should say, welcome to the world of sunlight being the best disinfectant.
By the way, I think it's great that we are required to do this in public. I think that's exactly the way it should be.
Yeah. So there's actually still a lot of interesting. I mean, this is an industry that you're trying to set up here in
Correct.
Massachusetts, and there's still a lot of very critical details to work out there. I mean, it could potentially be a billion-dollar plus business for the state.
I think that's reasonable.
But, you know, how companies are going to find financing, loans, et cetera. I mean, you've said that at the first Massachusetts Cannabis Business Association meeting, I believe, last month, you said that the commission is trying to accelerate the relationship between banks and businesses here. But that's kind of a thorny
area. It's a very challenging issue. And, you know, the high-level issue, which is that this is a federally illegal substance and the state law and federal law are in conflict with one another, it colors a lot of things. But banking is certainly one of the places where it's most explicitly a challenge. And I am heartened by the experience of Colorado. So Colorado is about 5 years ahead of us. When they first launched, it was a cash business, unbanked. But what's happened over the 4 or 5 years since they launched is that their business is about 80% banked. Now, when I say banked, cash management services. No bank is lending into this industry because their collateral could be seized at any time. But in Colorado, 3 or 4 or 5 banks have entered. But it took a couple of years until the banks convinced themselves that these were really professionally run businesses, well regulated, the regulations were enforced. And it took them a while to get comfortable. But they did. And at least few banks have entered. What we're trying to do in Massachusetts is just accelerate that process.
And can I just jump in here? Because this is really, really important. I mean, so cash management is one thing.
Sure.
But I want to underscore what you said, that banks still aren't lending in Colorado because
I'm pretty sure that's the case.
They're reluctant to, at least.
Certainly
because you said their assets could be seized by the federal government for engaging in what the federal government sees as an illegal operation.
Correct.
But in order to launch a business, small or large, credit is a key part of that.
Yep.
So how are you going to do that here?
Well, you know, there are investment funds, private investment funds that have been created to put seed money into this business. There are state agencies that we're working with that are, you know, one of the objectives of our law, as I mentioned, is diversity, not just ethnically, but in terms of small and large businesses. And we're trying through incentives in terms of lower application fees and lower licensing, annual license fees, to encourage smaller businesses. And there are state agencies who have that exact objective, which is to help small businesses get off the ground. And so we're working to try. Again, the federal issue is a little bit of a cloud over that
as
well.
This is a tough one, though, because,
I mean,
as far as we can tell, Century Bank, Medford-based, is the only institution we know right now that's working with medical dispensaries
that's
in Massachusetts.
That's correct.
But the medical dispensaries have been around for several years now, and we still only have one bank that's willing to work with them.
I think that's right. And, you know, I don't know whether Century is going to support the adult use market. They certainly, I believe, will stay in the medical market. But you're right. What we've done, I think there's kind of a set of different activities that are going on simultaneously. And I don't know which one's going to work, but I think they're all required. I mean, certainly there's work going on at the federal level in terms of legislation that Senator Warren and Senator Gardner have introduced. I have nothing to say on that. It's, you know, way above my head. We're focused on state law, but that's happening. I have been going around with the help of the Commissioner of Banking to industry associations. I spoke to the Max Bankers Association. I spoke to the Cooperative Credit Union Association. And my message there is not, will you please come into this business? My message is, here's what we're doing. Here's how we're building this industry. Here's how we're going to regulate it. Here's how we're going to enforce those regulations. Here's the detailed tracking of inventory we're going to do through our seed-to-sale tracking to try to give them a comfort level, and as I said, to try to accelerate the process that has occurred in other states like Colorado. There are non-bank players in this space that have closed loop systems that can do cash management. We have no jurisdiction over them, but when they reach out to me, I introduce them to Commissioner McGinnis from the Commission of Banking, and his team evaluates them about whether they can be licensed to do business in the state. And they are playing in other states, so it's a question of whether they can get licensed in the state of Massachusetts. We're just going to keep plugging away on all those things. I don't know which is going to work. You know, maybe it's a combination of those things, but it's a very important issue.
So last question for you, because I know I got to let you go here. Where do you see the commission, the work the commission, the industry in 6 months? Are there going to be retail stores open?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. I've been very careful not to make a point forecast that I learned in my early management consulting career. The only thing you know about a point forecast is the probability of being accurate is zero. So I won't
and
make.
And then we won't forget it either.
So I won't make a point forecast, but I'm confident that over the time frame you just articulated, the industry is going to start looking like a real industry in terms of retail stores and cultivation and manufacturing and distribution. It's going to take a while beyond that until it's quote mature. Until it looks like Colorado. I mean, Colorado's taken a few years to get there. So I don't want to overpromise what it's going to look like in a few months, but I think you're going to see stores open in that time frame.
Well, Steve Hoffman is the chairman of the Massachusetts Cannabis Control Commission. Thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.